Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all out today. Many of you braved the cold. That's awesome. Morning to those of you online as well. So this morning, before I get started, just want to mention that my name is Pastor Ryan, as it says behind you, Ryan Beer. And I'm the pastor, it says, of Go Ministries, but I'm also pastor of micro churches. And so essentially what that means, just feel free to come forward and take the offering as I continue to speak here. But essentially what that means is that I oversee both our local and global mission stuff we do, and I also work with our micro churches because we believe that the true, really deep discipleship often happens in those smaller settings, which we call micro churches here at Westwood. And so that's a little bit about what I do here. And as part of my job this morning, I want to share with you some exciting stuff that God is doing through this church. I love being part of this church. It's such a generous church, generous with our money, generous with our time. And so I want to share a couple things this morning. One of the opportunities this morning, out in the foyer, you might have saw them when you came in, there are a few women who are selling both puzzles and coffee, and that money goes to support the work that we're doing in Myanmar. And if you haven't heard about the work we're doing in Myanmar, we partner with people in Myanmar, and through this coffee company called Lighthouse Coffee, which our missions people are part of, through that, they have literally brought hundreds of people out of poverty. It's truly an incredible story. Farmers that were making a subsistence living, that were being sometimes ripped off by big coffee companies, now are paid three times the wage that they once were paid, are able to send their kids to school. Like, it's really, really an incredible story. So if you want to be part of that incredible story, it's really, really easy. You can just go buy some coffee this morning, great stocking stuffer, and it's a way that you can really continue to help them both bring people out of poverty, but also as they're doing that, they're also planting churches in this place. And so it's an absolutely incredible story, and I encourage you to be a part of it. The second thing is, you've probably seen the tree out there, and Phil, good news, the tree's no longer naked, so that's great. If you were here a few weeks ago, Phil commented that the tree was currently naked and he didn't want it to stay that way. So good work, church, on making sure the tree didn't remain naked. But you can bring gloves, toques, different stuff, and all that stuff is going to be donated to help some of the less fortunate people in our community, especially the homeless population. So well done on that. Thank you. I think there's hundreds of items that have already been donated, over 100 items, so that's incredible. Let's keep going on that. And we also heard recently that we have the opportunity to send Westwood School, which is right behind, if there were windows right here, we could see it, all of them to camp, all 220. That's our goal. And so in order to do that, we need to raise $60,000, which sounds like a big number, but I have great news. We're already over a third of the way there. We're already at $21,000. Isn't that incredible? And so if you've been at Westwood for a while, you'll know that on Christmas Eve, we often try to encourage everyone that we're going to give our offering to a certain thing. So this year, we're going to encourage you to give to that project. So I encourage you, come prepared on Christmas Eve to give to that. Christmas, I want to just kind of make mention of this. You might have saw it in the slides, but this Christmas, we're going to have two services on Christmas Eve, 4:30 and 6, but there won't be a service on Christmas morning, okay? So if you show up, no one will be here, so don't do that. Enjoy your Christmas with your family, okay? So that's it. I'm excited about all those things, and I'm excited this morning to share a little bit of the Christmas story. And one of the things I'd love to do, because if you don't know this, the Bible, it's a collection of stories of how God has been at work in relationship with people. And that story, the stories that we collected and made into this Bible have ended, but the story of how God is at work with people, it hasn't ended. It continues today. It's my story. It's some of your story, right? And so one of the things I'd love to do this morning is share stories, both from the story of the Christmas story as found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, but also how is God working in these kinds of ways today? Because you might go, well, you know, that's a nice story from like 2,000 years ago, but does God really do that? Yeah, he does. So I'm going to share some modern day stories that connect with how God works, communicates in similar fashions. And so excited to do that this morning. So let's get going on that. Our sermon series is called Unexpected, and we're talking about how so much of the Christmas story, God works and does things in unexpected ways. And so today, we'll be hanging out in Matthew chapter 2. It says Matthew chapter 2, 11 to 12 on the screen. I went rogue, and we're going to do the whole chapter, so there you go. That's for free, just for you today. This starts off with the visit of the Magi or the wise men. So if you want to open your Bibles, whether that's on the digital version or a hard copy like this, feel free to do that. And we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read a little bit about the story and then talk about some of the unexpected ways that God's at work in this story. So, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So just a little quick aside, we're going to stop there for just a second. So these Magi, or sometimes Magus, or sometimes just referred to as wise men, there's a bunch of different theories on who they are. There's also a whole bunch of legends. Some of the legends even give them names and the whole bit. But the reality is, I'll tell you what we don't know, and I'll tell you what we think we know. Okay, so we don't actually know how many wise men there were. So sometimes people say, well, there was 3 wise men. We don't actually know. It actually never says in Scripture how many there were. It only says how many gifts there were. So lots of people say, well, there was 3. If there's 3 gifts, there's probably 3 wise men, which seems logical, but may not be true. The second thing is, we have some Christmas carols, and one of them says that they're from the Orient. Wrong. Sorry to ruin that story for you, that song for you, but it's theologically probably inaccurate. Most scholars actually believe that they were likely from Persia, Iran, Iraq area, from in modern day today, that they were likely from Persia, and many actually believe that they were Medes. And some would actually say that they were former Jewish people that were left there from the time of exile. There's a bunch of different stories, but most of the scholars agree that they were likely from the area in Persia. So there you go. And so one thing we do know is that they were astrologers. They watched the stars for signs. And something that they saw in the sky led them to believe that there was a king born to the Jews, okay? So there's a little bit about the Magi. And they came from the east and came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So what the Magi do here, it makes sense, right? If a king is going to be born to the Jews, he's first of all probably going to be born in Jerusalem, the main city there, and he's probably going to be born in the palace where King Herod is. Like, where else would kings be? He's probably, he's probably hanging out in the palace, was born, living in the palace. You know, that's what kings do. So it's a little bit unexpected for the wise men when they get there, and Herod's like, as you're going to see as we continue in the passage, and Herod's like, king of the Jews, baby born, what? What's going on here? Herod doesn't have a clue what's happening. See, God is working in unexpected ways. First of all, it's unexpected that he would choose to reveal himself to these wise men from the east. Like, how do these wise men from the east know what's going on? And yet, King Herod's wise men, who are supposed to know the Old Testament scriptures and know all these things, they totally miss that this Messiah, this King of the Jews, has been born. So that's a bit unexpected, so let's continue. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, because King Herod was a bit of a power-hungry control freak. That's putting it nicely, as we're going to see later. Okay? And so when he hears that there's this new king of the Jews being born, he's disturbed because he's like, yikes, I don't want a new king of the Jews. I'm the king of the Jews. Okay, so he's disturbed. And all of Jerusalem with them, they're like, how do we miss this? And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, the guys who should have known, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. At least they knew that part. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. We're going to find out in a minute this is a bold-faced lie. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Okay, so I'm gonna ruin all of your nativity scene sets right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing this. It's not my fault. I'm not the one who made them incorrectly. Okay, so spoiler alert, the wise men did not go to the stable. They went to a house. And Jesus was no longer a baby at this point. He was likely 2 years old, as we'll see from this from the text, or maybe slightly there under. So they actually go to visit him at a house, and he's likely more of like closer to a toddler age than newborn baby. So, sorry, they wanted to cram it all into one nativity set, and they decided to take a little creative license, but sorry, not true. Okay, so that's something you should know. Okay, so let's continue. He says, on coming to the house, we're in verse 11 now, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and an incense and myrrh. Okay, so we're going to stop there for a second. I want to tell you about these gifts, because this is pretty cool, I think. So these gifts are significant. They're symbolic gifts. They're not just like random gifts where they're like, what are you going to give baby Jesus? Give this king of the Jews. I'll give him, myrrh sounds good. That sounds like a great thing. They actually mean something. So gold, commonly in many of the kingdoms in that area, gold was the gift that you gave a king. In fact, you shouldn't even show up to speak to the king without gold. Like, that's just a bad idea. So the gold points to the fact that this baby, Jesus, was a king. Okay? So that's the first one. The second one is frankincense. Now, frankincense is the kind of gift that you would give a priest. So if you have a priest on your gift list for Christmas, there you go. Frankincense is the thing. But the reason frankincense was the thing in that day and age, common priests these days might be like, what am I getting frankincense? But back then, frankincense was used in offerings and different things that they would do at the temple. Incense was burned, and it was usually frankincense. So frankincense was a gift, a symbol that Jesus was going to be a priest. Okay? Finally, myrrh. Myrrh was used for embalming dead bodies. So right from birth, his gift symbolizes that he came to die. So pretty awesome that all these gifts actually have pretty incredible symbolic meanings of who Jesus was and was going to be. So that's awesome. So I wanna just encourage you that God, as we see from the text so far, God works in unexpected ways. And I'm going to tell you a couple stories from my own life and from people I know in a minute around that. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit about what comes next. And in the story, in verse 11, it says this, 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So they have a dream. God speaks to them in a dream. And this is what I want you to notice from this, that not only does God work in unexpected ways, but God communicates in unexpected ways. He communicates to them through a dream. Now, I would hazard a guess, and God communicates in all kinds of different ways, dreams, visions, sometimes through speaks to us in our thoughts, all kinds of different ways. And I would hazard a guess that God is regularly trying to communicate and speak to you, but maybe because the way he's communicating is unexpected by you, maybe you're not realizing it's such. So I'd encourage you this Christmas season, pay attention. God might be communicating to you in ways that you never expected or that maybe you don't even recognize as God. And so pay attention to that. Let me tell you a story to illustrate my point. So 9.5 years ago, it's crazy, I've been here for 9.5 years. You believe that? 9.5 years ago, Amanda and I were thinking, we're assessing like the call about whether God was calling us here to Prince George, to Westwood Church. And I was praying and I was like, okay, God, I just really have this sense that if this is the church I'm supposed to go to, that I'm supposed to go there with a specific vision in mind as the youth pastor, but I want that vision not to be from me, I want it to be from you. So would you communicate to me in some kind of way so that I have a vision to take there? And if they affirm the vision, then I'll know that this is the church for me. And if they don't affirm the vision, I'll be like, okay, at least I know. So I was praying, I was spending a lot of time in prayer. And honestly, I was hearing nothing. And if I'm being really, really honest, I was getting a little frustrated. I was like, come on, God, I've been spending so much time praying. I really want to know that this is how you're moving. And so went to bed that night going like, man, I hope it's getting close to the time when I have to have this ready. Like, God, you need to say something soon. So I wake up the next morning, and my son, who now is almost as big as I am, but back then was like 5, so he's little, he comes literally jumping on top of me on the bed, and he says, Dad, guess what? I had a dream last night, and I'm supposed to tell you I'm hungry. I'm like, I'm hungry? What do you mean? Like, should I get you some breakfast? Like, what's happening here? He's like, no. He's like, I had a dream, and I felt God was supposed to tell me that this vision you're supposed to bring, it's supposed to be all about how, about hunger. I'm hungry, and that the youth are in Prince George are hungry for something, and you're supposed to pray about what are they hungry for, and God's going to give you the vision. Well, that was unexpected. I didn't expect God to speak through my 5-year-old son, but one thing we've always told our kids is God doesn't give you a kid-sized Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. We all get the same one. There's not like baby Holy Spirit, little kid Holy Spirit, preteen Holy Spirit, teen Holy Spirit, young adult Holy Spirit, old person Holy Spirit. No, it's the same. We all get the same one. So it makes sense that God could speak to him. But it was certainly unexpected to me. But it was awesome to have him be a part of that. And through various different ways, God confirmed to each and every one of us that this is where God had called us. And the rest, as they say, is history. So God communicates in unexpected ways. Sometimes through dreams, sometimes through visions, sometimes through our thoughts, in all kinds of different ways, God communicates in unexpected ways. And God continues to communicate in the story in unexpected ways. Verse 13, when they had gone, this is talking about the wise men. So when they had gone, the wise men have left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So now, it gets even more in unexpected ways of God communicates. God is communicating in a dream through an angel. I don't know how that works, but apparently he saw an angel in his dream, and he was communicating to Joseph, and he says this, "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Yeah, I didn't want to worship him after all, wanted to kill him. Told you he was a bit of a control freak. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Okay, so again, God communicates in unexpected ways. But here's the incredible part. The story goes on, and Herod gets really angry, and he does try to kill everybody in that area under 2 years old. He kills all the male children, like Crazy. But what I want to talk about here is how God provides and blesses in unexpected ways. Think about it. A trip to Egypt from Bethlehem, that's a long trip, and they didn't have planes, so they likely walked there or maybe took donkey or camel or something of that nature, but it's not going to be a fast trip, and it's going to be a trip where you're going to need significant provisions, and then they're going to live in Egypt long term, so they need something to pay for that. Well, what has happened? They've just been given all these expensive gifts. It's almost like God knew they were going to need it, right? So God provided and blessed them in incredible ways before they even knew that they needed it. Unbelievable how God does that. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a couple stories along those lines. First of all, from my own life, and then from a ministry that I got to be a part of when I used to live in Campbell River. So the first story is from my life. So Amanda and I decided when we were going to get married that God was calling us for the first little bit of our marriage to go live overseas somewhere. And it turned out being Kenya. So 3 weeks after we were married, we moved to Kenya. Some of you know this already. But we felt strongly that God was saying, you're going to go to Kenya, and you're going to go there for 6 months, and we only had half of the money we needed. And we felt God saying, don't ask anybody. Don't ask anybody for money. Go and trust me. And I'm honestly, inside, I'm kind of freaking out. Because I'm like, this doesn't seem like a wise idea, God. So let me get this straight. I'm going to go to another country I've never been to in my life. Yes. I'm going to go there with half of the money I need to live on and no way of making more income. Yes. And I'm not supposed to ask anybody for help. Also, yes. That seems a little bit crazy. Yes, Ron, that's what faith is about. Trusting me, even when it doesn't make sense, you know. In fact, a colleague of mine, he says that faith should actually be spelled R-I-S-K. Yeah. Because that's what exercises our faith muscle is when we actually step out and risk taking obedience to Jesus. So we got on that plane and went with a little bit of fear and trembling, I might add. And we didn't ask anybody for money, and people just kept giving. They just kept giving. They just kept putting money in our account, and it was crazy. And we get till there's only 2 months left, and we have exactly the amount we need in the bank account for the last 2 months. And the Holy Spirit says, you're going to give 2/3 of it away. I'm like, are you kidding me? 2/3 of it away? We finally have what we need. God, like, you're really pushing this faith thing, aren't you? Okay, so we felt God was calling us to give 2/3 of it away to provide for 60 orphans who needed it more than we did. And so both Amanda and I were like, okay, let's give it away. What we didn't know, because where we were staying for that weekend, we didn't have access to the internet. What we didn't know is before we, when we had left that day, Amanda's church, the Holy Spirit had laid on their hearts to give us almost twice what we were giving away. And in fact, and this blew my mind, when we came back and landed in Canada, we had almost the amount to the dollar in our bank account as what we left from. Don't think God provides and blesses in unexpected ways? He does. He's the same God. He didn't stop. It wasn't just for Jesus' time, and he's like, that's just for you, Joseph and Mary and Jesus. The rest of you, you're on your own. No. He still shows up, provides, and blesses. And I could tell you so many more stories in my own life from that. But I won't. But I will tell you about a ministry called Esperanza. Esperanza is an incredible ministry. It's on Nootka Island, just off the west coast of Vancouver Island, and they decided that it isn't good for people who are trying to get out of addictions to go into a recovery program where they're taken away from their families and they're alone. So they bring the whole family to do recovery together at this incredibly beautiful, stunning place right on the ocean on Nootka Island. So this was working and it was having so much success. And we went every year and we cleared their wilderness camp, because they also did wilderness camps for First Nations youth. And so it was our joy to go and help every year clear all the bush and Devil's Club and all that fun stuff out of the area for them. And so we were there one time, and the director said, "Ryan, can I tell you a really, really cool story?" I said, "Absolutely, I love cool stories." So he says, "So we had this family, and we needed a house for them, and we didn't have a house. And in fact, we had so much demand lately that we were like, we're going to need to build a new house, but we have no money to build the new house." And so they just said, "We're going to start praying. We are going to start praying." And they expected, you know, maybe God would bless them with some generous person giving them money, you know, people deciding to donate their time to build this place. So they start praying, and as they start praying, a few days later, a house literally floats up on the beach. I kid you not. I kid you not. And they see that it had broken away from, like, this logging camp that was had these, like, floating houses, I guess, that they were staying at as they logged in remote areas. And so they call the logging company, and they say, "Yeah, we've been missing that for a while. You guys need, we love what you guys are doing there, and you guys need it more than us. Just keep it." So they get a few people to come out, put a foundation, they plop the thing on. There's the house. I mean, what? God provides and blesses in unexpected ways. He still does it. Like, that's crazy. I would have never guessed that that's how they got the house. And they showed me the house. They're like, "Yeah, here's the house. It's right here." I'm like, wow. And that's the incredible thing, too, as we see in this story, and we see throughout our lives, and some of you guys have experienced this, and you probably feel like you are this person, is that God also uses unexpected people. Nobody expected, like, these wise men to come and tell these people who were supposed to be studying about when the Messiah came, "Hey, guys, by the way, guys, the Messiah's already here, and he came probably about 2 years ago, and you missed it." Just saying. And also, we're going to provide all the money that the Messiah needs to escape to Egypt, because you guys are going to try to kill him. God used those wise men in incredible ways. And he still uses people that we don't expect. That's 100% my story. Like, there's so many things that I've got to do and experience because of Jesus that I was like, I would have never expected that. I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life for the longest time. And yet God has taken me on adventures all over the world. He's done all kinds of cool things. I have all kinds of cool stories to share about the goodness of God. And I'm just like, wow, God, you are good. You blow me away by how you use me. And so many of you here, I know, because I've heard so many of your stories. That's your story too, isn't it? God uses me. God can use me. And if it's not your story, guess what? It can be. It can be. You just have to give your yes to Jesus. And it can be your story too, because God loves to use people. And there's no barrier to that. The only barrier is, will you say yes to him? There's nothing you've done in your past or anything like that that he can't overcome, that he can't redeem. He is an incredible God who does incredible things. So, quickly, to recap, as the worship team comes, God is a good God who works in unexpected ways, who communicates in unexpected ways, who blesses and provides in unexpected ways, and uses unexpected people. And that's not just the Christmas story. That's the story of how God is at work amongst his people to this very day. And God can work in your life in all those different ways. And so I just encourage you this Christmas to turn to God and see how he might work in your own life in an unexpected way. Let's pray together, and then we're going to worship with one more song. Oh, Jesus, I thank you that you are such a good God, and that you came into this earth in an unexpected way and revealed yourself to unexpected people. And thank you that you are a God who still works powerfully in our lives in unexpected ways and provides for us, and you love to give us good gifts. And so I pray for your people here that you would surprise us this Christmas season by working in unexpected ways through unexpected people and doing unexpected things, Jesus. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that we get to be in relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you that you came and lived among us. Thank you that you died and rose again and that we can forever be in relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.